next, which is verse 37 of Romans chapter 8. It says there in verse 37, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Let's just have a wee word of prayer together, please. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for what we've heard tonight of divine grace in our brother's life. Thank thee, Lord, for that time, or those times in the tansy when he heard the gospel as a boy. And Lord, we thank thee especially for that particular time when he came as a sinner to Jesus. And Lord, we're glad tonight that he has gone on with God. Thank thee, Lord, that he's an elder. Thank thee, Lord, that he is a friend of the church here. And most of all, that he is a faithful servant of thine. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless our brother Sam and his wife. Undertake for them in every way. Thank thee, Lord, again tonight for thy word. We ask, Lord, as we look at it now for a moment or two together, that the Lord would impress its truth upon our hearts. Lord, may it come with relevance to me afresh and to every other person. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. I'm sure most of you here tonight have heard the familiar saying that great minds think alike and fools seldom differ. I was speaking to the Reverend Martin as he left the service this morning. I said to Mr. Martin, I said, what you said this morning tied in so much with what I said I was about going to say tonight that I don't know now whether I should say it or not. And he said, no, don't be silly, brother. He said, the fact that you're thinking of saying something similar to what I said is an indication that we have a message indeed from the Lord. And I trust tonight, as we draw your attention to this verse 37 in Romans chapter 8 that we've just read together there, that it will be a word for you. Mr. Martin, I believe, would have been thinking in the same way that I've been thinking towards this last Sabbath of this year, thinking of God's people and how we're ever in need of a word, and how good it would be if we had something to say that would help you as we soon enter another year together. And I trust tonight, as we turn for a few moments to our text, that the Lord will bless it to your heart and what we have to say. Now, Paul the Apostle was a very remarkable man in many ways. And there's no occasion, I believe, where we find him coming out with a more remarkable statement than we do here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. I'll read the words again. He says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." These words are very remarkable when you consider the awful experiences that had just preceded the utterance of these words. The Apostle Paul had visited converts to Christ through Phrygia and Galatia, and while making his way towards Asia, he had been forbidden of the Holy Spirit at that time to go in that direction. You can read Acts chapter 16 yourself for those details. You see, on his second missionary journey, he had spent a Sabbath day at Ephesus on his way to Jerusalem, and his preaching had interested people there in some degree, and they wanted him to stay that a little bit longer. But having to take his leave of them, and I'm sure you're familiar with the passage, he indicated to them that when he would return again, they would hear him preach, if it was the Lord's will for him to be there. And it was in some degree in fulfillment of that promise that the apostle again had visited Ephesus. He's referring to that experience as we read here in chapter 8 of Romans. Now I believe that Paul, mighty man as he was, I doubt if he realized as he entered Ephesus on that occasion the far-reaching results of his residence there. In fact, when Paul went to be among the Ephesian believers on this occasion, for him it was almost conflict from first to last. And here in this chapter 8, he enumerates some of his experiences there in verse 35. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. Most of us tonight would be familiar with the fact that he was mistreated there, but you need to really think about the situation in order to understand what Paul meant when on another occasion he spoke about being pressed out of measure. When he spoke about despairing even of life. And on top of all of the problems that would come from the exterior. There was his inward struggles. That which we heard about this morning as Mr. Martin preached to us. Those temptations, those things that can rise up within us like bitterness and even worry, and these things that can wear us down. If you look there in verse 36, you will see that he quotes the words of the psalmist. He says, as it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Now, when you consider, and I've only mentioned them briefly, you consider the opposing forces. You consider the drawbacks. You consider the natural hindrances due to his own physical weakness. You consider all of these things. And I'm sure tonight we would all agree it would be very possible for the very best of people to become totally defeated and cast down. But it was on reflecting on all of his troubles that the Apostle Paul is able to say, in order to encourage others, he's able to say from an honest heart, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And you and I this morning, we heard about casting all our care upon the Lord because he careth for us, and so he does. And I think when you look at the situation that the Apostle Paul finds himself in this chapter, we see that he was facing those forces from outside, which could easily have worn him down just the way the forces we heard about this morning from the inside, like worry and anxiety and envy and bitterness and all of those things, can wear a man or a woman down. But he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Here was a man, and he was on victory ground. And I suppose if you were to put a title tonight on what Mr. Martin said this morning, on what I have to say tonight, we would simply say, there's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. And I'm sure there's not a Christian here tonight, and during this past year you haven't had some cares. You haven't had some worries. And I'm sure when you look to the outward side, to the exterior, you can say, yes, I have had frustrations in the work of God. I've even had hindrances. I've had difficulties. And being involved in the work of the Lord, you would have to say tonight that pressure has been upon you. And when it comes to living in Christian victory, maybe it's right to say that for someone, that is just a fond memory of how it used to be. And something else struck me this morning that Mr. Martin says, and that was that it's important that every person remembers that the minister is no different from them. That's why I said earlier on, we appreciate your prayers so much, more than you'll ever imagine. We're just the same as you. All the same anxieties, all the same difficulties, all the same problems. So we speak tonight a word that has been a word to our own heart. And I believe that every believer here would want to be on victory ground. Now you look there in verse 37 again, it says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And I trust, as I make a few comments upon those words, that they will be of help to you as we soon enter another year together. We're looking here at Christian victory. I want you to notice, first of all, the time of our victory. Every Christian, I believe, thinks about victory. We think, well, it is certainly the best place to be in a position of victory. Maybe if I could only get this sorted out, or if I could only get that sorted out, well then, I would know what it is to be in victory. But look at the verse with me, if you will, please. Paul says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than we are more than conquerors." You and I, sometimes when temptation comes, we find that there is a way of escape. Be it a temptation to draw back in the work of God, a temptation to sin, a temptation to say something that is wrong, a temptation to behave in a way that is wrong. It says over there in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the way of temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Where it says way to escape there, literally in the original language, means a defi, referring to a valley, if you want to call it that, between two mountains, where there's absolutely no way out. And then suddenly, coming across, the traveller coming across this, like a little avenue that brings him out from between the two mountains. And the apostle there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is saying, with the temptation that comes to you, there comes that way of escape. You heard about that this morning, casting your care upon the Lord. But is it not right to say tonight that for many of us here, from time to time, we find ourselves in a situation that if we're not careful, can become a place of defeat. And it is a situation that we're tied to. A situation that we're tied to through everyday life. Maybe in our home, perhaps in our work, maybe in our social circle. And it is in that situation that some trial or some temptation or some pressure has been wearing away at us, and if we're not very careful, we can find ourselves as defeated Christians. We haven't wanted to live in the shelter of the valley and shy away from the work of the Lord and do nothing. We sought to serve the Lord, and these difficulties have come along. Look at the difficulties that Paul mentioned: tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. We may not be familiar as far as experience is concerned with many of them, but look at distress. Do you not know about that tonight? I'm sure you do, as you seek to serve the Lord. And is it not right to say that we sometimes feel, if only I could get myself sorted out, then I would know what it is to be in victory. The Apostle Paul says, in all these things. In other words, right in the middle of them, when they've no intention of going away, when we're in a situation that we're tied to. Maybe it's a parent whose heart is broken because of a wayward child. You're tied to that situation. You can't simply say, well, I'm looking a way out, I'm going to run away. You can't do that. You can't simply say, well, I'll try not to think about it. That changes nothing. But the Apostle Paul is saying here, right in the middle of the problem, you can know victory. For he's saying that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And you and I are very aware that we're weak. We look back over 2008, we're very, very certain of that. That we're weak, unprofitable servants at best. And there may be those times when you've been driven almost to despair, you've become discouraged, and you've become disappointed, and the difficulty has been such that even tonight it's wearing away at you. And the cry of your heart is, if only I could get on to victory ground. Paul did not say, when I left Ephesus and the enemies were behind me, the troubles were gone, the beatings were gone, the danger was gone, the awful pressure was gone, that then I knew victory. He's not saying that. He's saying, despite it all, I knew victory in the midst of it all. Then there may be other occasions when you and I would have to say, well, I know victory in a measure, but I haven't experienced the victory that the Apostle Paul is talking about. And I just want to mention this. Would it be that we would tie in with that our living would tie in with what Joshua and his comrades experienced in Joshua chapter 7? Do you remember they went up to take Ai? The Lord had given them Jericho. Their hearts were lifted up within them. They went to take Ai. Their argument was that Ai was small compared to Jericho. Therefore, their thinking was wrong right away. They were sort of fooling themselves into thinking that they had taken Jericho, but the Lord had given them Jericho. And now when their hearts are lifted up a little bit, they're thinking, well, we'll not need so many men to go to Jericho. And if you read Joshua chapter 7, you will see there was self-confidence. They hadn't done anything for Jericho. The Lord had given it to them. But there was self-confidence there. In Joshua chapter 7 and verse 2, they neglected to seek the Lord for counsel. They went on ahead themselves. But in Joshua, also in those verses, you'll find that Israel had committed a trespass, as it says, in the accursed thing. There was Achan's sin. Three things that prevented them at that time from knowing victory. Self-confidence, not seeking the Lord for counsel, and sin that was not dealt with. And brethren and sisters, if we only know victory in a degree, and we don't experience the victory that we would love to experience, yes, it may be that we're waiting to get out of the situation and then we feel that we'll have victory. Or could it be tonight that because for some reason the Lord has done something for us, that we have become self-confident? That we haven't been continually seeking the Lord in prayer and seeking His face for counsel? Or could it be even that there's something in our heart and it has led to us not knowing the victory that we would want to have? But Christian, you can have that victory tonight. The difficulties there, we cannot, like the ostrich, bury our head in the sand and say there are no difficulties. That there are no distresses involved in serving the Lord. That there's nothing that would bring pressure upon you. That would be wrong. That's not going to change. But the Apostle Paul is saying here that in the very midst of it all, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. That is the time of our victory. The time of your victory can be now. It can be now. Because the difficulty might not go away. The disappointments in the work of God might get worse. But still you can have victory. But he says something else here. He says, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Now, for some people, as I mentioned, victory seems that perhaps something that is a fond memory, or perhaps even something that at very best is a remote prospect. The Apostle Paul, in his language here, he says now, we are more than conquerors. The word conquer there means to gain the victory. It also means to subdue or to greatly overcome something in the sense of defeating an attack. And you want victory tonight, there's no doubt about it. And if I was to ask you, what would your New Year's wish be? You would say, I want to be a victorious Christian. Our brother, Mr. Collins, was honest enough tonight to say that there were times when he felt he failed the Lord and he wasn't all that he ought to be. Those are good words to hear from any Christian, because it's honesty. And we can all say them. We can all say them. But your wish tonight would be to be a victorious Christian. Well, if you're going to be a victorious Christian, then there must be overcoming. There must be subduing in the sense of defeating an attack. Because rest assured, as we soon enter 2009 together, you will be attacked and opposed. You will be attacked and opposed by the flesh. The old man will oppose you at every turn as you seek to follow the Lord. You will be attacked and opposed not only by the flesh, but by your foes. People that say something to you and knocks the heart out of you. But it may be, just maybe, that you'll also be attacked by your friends. Those that you sought to walk with, who sought to help you, you thought in the work of God, and they have changed. When I first got saved, perhaps I was very naive, and I thought because people were very interested in the work of the Lord that it was never going to change. And people who were a great help to me when I was first saved, I couldn't understand it. When they became less interested and when the point came that they wouldn't even hardly speak to me. I couldn't understand that. Sometimes I still think about it. But you and I, as we soon enter another year, we can be more than conquerors. We can subdue. We can overcome. James Chalmers, who was a missionary for 21 years, this is what he said. He said, I recall the 21 years. Give me it back with all its experience. Give me its shipwrecks. Give me its standings in the face of death. Give me it surrounded with savages with spears and clubs. Give me it back again with spears flying about me. And I will still be your missionary. I will still be your missionary. James Chalmers was more than a conqueror. I wonder tonight, do we know anything of the spirit of James Chalmers? Or have we been defeated? Have we not really known what it is to subdue the flesh? Have we not known what it is to be able to go on in spite of those remarks from those who are godless that has discouraged us? Have we not been able to go on when a friend has let us down, even in the work of the Lord? And we might say, when we consider the experiences of Paul here, or the experiences of James Chalmers, we might say that man would naturally shy away from these things. And so he would. So would I, and so would you. Now, Paul, the apostle, did not search for trouble, but he faced it. He did not search for problems and difficulties and opposition, but he faced it. And victory was his. I wonder tonight, if you have problems and difficulties in the work of the Lord, or maybe things that you don't want to talk about, I wonder, do you have victory in that situation, right in the middle of it? Right now, in the middle of that difficult situation, as you seek to serve the Lord. Maybe someone's opposing you, everything you go to do. Do you have victory now? More than that, do you know what it is to be more than a conqueror? To overcome, to subdue, to be able to bring into subjection the flesh, the old man. To be able to labour on in spite of friends who've let you down, and in spite of the foe who may oppose you with their words or actions. And that brings me, and I'm moving through this very quickly here, to another thought. We have not only the depth and the time of our victory, but there is here a truth, and that is that this victory is for every Christian. It says there, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Apostle Paul was able to conquer. Why? Because he had Christ in the vessel. He had Christ in the vessel. The Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you have to think that his life was one of ultimate victory. A life that triumphed when he walked here in the flesh, and a death that triumphed over hell and death and the grave. And is it any wonder the Apostle Paul said when he was writing to the church at Philippi, to me to live is Christ. What was the secret of Paul's victory? Why could Paul say in such a difficult situation, nay, in all these things, right in the middle of them, we are more than conquerors? He could say it because it was through him that loved him. The secret of his victorious life was the life living out in the risen Lord. The Lord's life lived out in our lives. And Paul could face the problems. He could face the difficulties. He could know the blessing of the Spirit of God's grace, strengthening him and enabling him and continually giving to him the victory. Now, you can't know that tonight if you're not saved. You can't know victory tonight if you're not saved. As you enter 2009, if you do, as an unsaved person, then sin will continually have dominion over you. It will be defeat after defeat after defeat. But if you're a Christian tonight, you can know victory because the Lord Jesus Christ is victorious. Then we think of his love, what love was expressed in Calvary's cross, what love was expressed in the blood of the cross. And again tonight we can have to say that only the Christian can know this victory. Continually calling upon the Lord. Whenever we feel that we failed him, ask him for that fresh cleansing in his precious blood. What a source of victory the Christian has. But unsaved person, you cannot know that victory tonight unless you come to the Lord and put your faith and trust in him. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, words of the Saviour himself concerning his people. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Dear Christian, if you and I are to have life more abundantly, we will not necessarily have it because we have more money or more property or more popularity. But you can have abundant life tonight if you know victory in Jesus. The word abundantly in that verse in John 10 means above common. I'm sure there's no one here tonight and you want to just plod through 2009. Don't you want to live a Christian life that is above common? That's what the Lord Jesus said, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, that they might have that which is above common. And as we enter another year, wouldn't it be good to enter it knowing that our zeal was unabated, that our love towards Christ was increased, that our love towards souls was steadfast? That can only happen if we are on victory ground. And there's so much that can defeat the Christian. Again, some things were mentioned this morning. We've mentioned some of them tonight. There's all of the problems within ourselves. Self is a great opposer of progress sometimes. But then there's all of that without. Look around you. You don't need to look far. to find something that would discourage you. But Paul the Apostle, he found victory in Jesus. And in the awful circumstances that he found himself in, he was able to say, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." I trust tonight, Christian, that every one of us will know that victory in 2009, that the Lord will bless us abundantly together. And I trust if you're not saved tonight, that you will avail yourself of the opportunity to come. You'll come to know the Saviour that Sam told us about. That you'll come in simple childlike faith and put your trust in him. Leave this building a new creature in Christ, rejoicing in all that the Lord has done for your soul. We're going to bow together in prayer as we